The Two Adams by A.S. Copley. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 49. In these words, we have a brief statement which outlines the original character of the two creations. It is needful that we study this carefully to see the similarity, the differences, and the relation of the two creations to each other. This is a very fundamental truth. Observe that the head of each of these two creations is called Adam. That is, Jesus was as truly human as was the Adam of Genesis 3. As Adam was the progenitor of the one race, so Jesus Christ, the second man, was the progenitor of the other race. It is most comforting to know that Jesus was a real man, yea, the real man. Observe the striking five marks of difference between the two creations. 1. The first Adam, man, was made. The last Adam, Jesus, was born. Luke 1:35. 2. The first man was a soul. The last, second man, was a spirit. The chief feature of the first Adam was soul, though he also had a spirit. Ecclesiastes 3:21. But the predominant character of Jesus was spirit. 3. The first man was living, but the second man was a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Adam could transmit life by natural generation. Only Jesus can give life to those who already exist but are dead, whether they are dead to God in trespasses and sins or physically dead and buried. 4. The first man is termed natural and the last man spiritual. It ought to be seen then that if, as some teach, salvation simply restores us to the state that Adam enjoyed, we would be only natural and not spiritual at all. We would be free from sin and its effects, but not holy creatures, but not sons. What gain would this bring to God? What satisfactory reward would this bring to Jesus for his redemptive work? Again, the first man was of the earth, earthy, but the second man was from heaven. 5. Observe the relation of those heads to each other. Adam is the figure of him that was to come. Romans 5:14. Note this fact, it is very significant. The real man was Jesus Christ. The first Adam was but a type, a figure. The creation of the first man was dependent upon the coming of the second man. In the beginning, the delights of the second man were with the yet uncreated descendants of Adam. Proverbs 8, verses 30 through 31. In the divine order of manifestation, Adam was first. In the divine purpose, Jesus was first. God's best is always last. The consummation of all things will mean the culmination of blessings to us poor mortals and of glory unto our God and His Anointed One. Their descendants. As is the earthy, such are they, His lineage, also that are earthy. 1 Corinthians 15:48. Adam begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Genesis 5:3. This was after his fall, and so we read that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. All sinned in Adam, their head, and because of a sinful nature inherited from Adam, all sinned voluntarily. All Adam's descendants bear his image still. The world is not growing better. It is impossible to improve on bad things. You cannot make a dog less doggish. You may domesticate him and teach him to be useful and cunning and even polite, but he is still only a dog. He is just as greedy as ever. He will growl and bite and devour as quickly as ever when occasion demands. He is still a dog. All your domestication will never convert him into a sheep. Only the God that made them both can change them, and that by destroying the dog's life and creating in him a sheep's life. Men bear the image of their forefather Adam, and they are waxing worse instead of better. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Jesus' descendants, 1 Corinthians 15:48. As he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new creation is heavenly, supernatural, spiritual, divine, God-sustained, and God-indwelt. Two natures in one person. God sees every man either as an old creation or as a new creation in the first Adam or in the last Adam, Christ, hence as dwelling in the flesh or in the spirit. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. Know we no man after the flesh. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Every man's standing is in one of these. But the state of all believers on Christ is not the same, for all believers are born of the Spirit, John 3:6, and live in the Spirit, the place and atmosphere of birth being our home. Yet all do not walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. Though all such are a new creature by the new birth, yet many do not walk according to this rule, Galatians 6:16, but walk as men, 1 Corinthians 3:3, who mind earthly things, Philippians 3:19, or live after the flesh, Romans 8:13, according to the rule of the old creation. This class of believers the Holy Spirit names carnal or fleshly. He cannot call them natural because they have been born into the supernatural. They are in Christ, though only babes in Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:1. They are even sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints or holy ones, 1 Corinthians 1:2. He cannot term them spiritual, for they do not walk in the Spirit nor after the Spirit, though they are not regarded as being in the flesh but in the Spirit, yet they are regarded as carnal, Romans 8:8-9. Their standing is spiritual, but their state is fleshly. Hence, in 1 Corinthians 2:14-3:1-3, we read of three classes of men. 1, the natural man. 2, the carnal man. And 3, the spiritual man. It is of the greatest moment that we distinguish between these three classes. We belong to one of them. Reader, where are you located today? If you are a child of God, you belong to the third class. That is your home. You need not walk after the flesh, Romans 8:1-4. A difficulty solved. But now, if we are a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why is it that some still walk after the flesh? We answer, it is because we have two natures in one person. This is thoroughly scriptural. In 2 Corinthians 4:7-10-11, observe that we have this treasure, the life of Jesus, in earthen vessels, our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:16 speaks of our outward man and the inward man. James 1:8-4:8 speak of the double-minded man, literally two-souled or two-lived. Are there not two natures here? Why, the repeated exhortations to be of one mind, to mortify the deeds of the body, to mortify your members which are upon the earth, and set your affections on things above if we have not two natures. Why the caution against the desires of the flesh and of the mind? Why do we read of your lusts that war in your members if we have not a dual nature? This is in harmony also with present-day experience, though some will not admit it because it ruins their theory of sanctification. Account otherwise for the bitter feelings entertained, the harsh, unkind words uttered, impatience shown, uncharitable criticism indulged in, selfishness evidenced, divisions which well nigh wreck the church, and this largely from disputes of words, if we have not a nature adverse to Christ. When two men are absolutely yielded to the Holy Spirit, they never quarrel or harmfully disagree, but work together in love and fellowship. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3, verse 17. Nor will it help matters to say, they have never been saved, or they have backslidden. We should say, as the Holy Spirit says, they are yet carnal, walk as men. They have not yet learned to walk in the Spirit, their dwelling place. Instead, they still yield to their first Adam nature, whose traits are envying and strife and divisions. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Frankly acknowledge your dual nature. Count with God that the old man was crucified with Christ, and recognize the new man as the only rightful claimant. Steadfastly believe that God dwells in you, holding the old self-life in death, while nurturing and training the new man. God does all in you while you believe him, even as Christ did all for you before you believed. Thus you will be walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh, as the Scripture says. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 4. A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with thy righteousness on my person and offerings to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. He died for you, he dies for me. Our Savior died upon the tree, he suffered shame and agony. He paid our debt of sin, you see, he died for you, he died for me. While hanging there upon the tree, he was made sin for you and me. Such wondrous grace, how could it be? He died for you, he died for me. He gave his life upon the tree that you and I might be made free. O love divine, how sweet to see! He died for you, he died for me. Not just for you, not just for me. He died for all mankind, you see. Believe on him, he'll set you free. He died for you, he died for me. S.C.L. Leonard.